Welcome to Kyoto Prep Area, a podcast dedicated to the Dice Masters collectible dice building game, hosted by myself, Rico, and my trusty sidekick,
JP.
All right, welcome back. This is the second part of our two-part episode on how to beat the Gavi Firestorm deck, and additionally, other characters that are just basic counters in general. Last episode, we talked about what the Gavi Firestorm deck was and why it was so effective, and we came up with three different techniques on how to stall and beat that tactic. So, the three techniques we came up with were eliminating sidekicks, slowing down Goblin, and fighting fire with fire using your own speed attackers. We only talked about the eliminating sidekick characters in specific on the last episode, so we don't really need to go over that this time. We're going to start with how to slow down Green Goblin. You have some good theories on which characters you like. We had a little bit of conversation, discussion about which Professor X was better. I like one, you like the other. So I'll tell you the one that I like, and then you can talk about which one you like, JP, and why you're right and I'm wrong. The one that I like, they're both six-cost Professor X's. And the one I like is called the Powerful... the one I like is actually called the Principal. It's the common. Professor X is active. Your opponent cannot reroll dice during the roll and reroll step. They can pay 2 life to prevent this effect. So the reason I like this one is that if we go back, it's more synergistic with what you're trying to do in eliminating the sidekicks, right? We've been talking about, you keep mentioning how sidekicks only come up on one on every 6 faces, you know, so it's a 1 out of 6 chance to roll a sidekick.
Right.
And if we're trying to eliminate your sidekicks, then when you re-roll them, chances are you're not going to get a sidekicks on the first roll.
Right. The probability tells you it's not.
Right. So you're going to have to pay the 2 life to try to re-roll. And it's not even guaranteed that you'll get them on the second time.
Correct.
And I also like this guy because if you miss your Gavi, now you have to try to pay 2 life to try to roll him to make sure you get him. Because you need Green Goblin every turn.
Right. Yeah, that would be horrible if you rolled and then... just threw him, you know, I used him for energy.
Yeah, like the time we played the first time, I never got my goblins out and I lost.
Yes.
So, I like Principal. You like the rare version.
Yes. His name is Charles Francis Xavier.
Right.
They are both 6 costs, I'll say that. So, they're definitely interchangeable, that's for sure. But this one specifically says, while Professor X is active, your opponents cannot field characters. He or she can pay 2 life to prevent this effect for the rest of the turn. Yeah. So it's the same similar effect of you can pay to prevent, and in all terms, I'm sure you would, you pay two to prevent it. But this one says you cannot field characters. We talked about him before a little bit. You can't win if you can't field characters, and specifically in the Gavi, why I like this version is if you only roll one sidekick, usually any other time you'd get one sidekick and you roll 3 energy to get your Gavi. Well, now you're paying 2 life to get that sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth 2 life? Because that sidekick is only doing 1 life to you.
Right.
If you get Gavi. So you can field him. Guess what? I'm up an advantage of 1 life. So in order to pay 1 for 1, you're going to have to at least roll 2 sidekicks or somebody else. 2 characters. You're going to have to field 2 characters.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose not to field him, you just wasted a turn, slowed yourself down.
Right.
Now, the discussion we had, it's definitely interesting on which one is better.
Yeah, I mean, so, okay. Your guy says you can't field characters, right? That's assuming that you're getting him in a point to where the sidekicks aren't already all in the field, right? So, the reason I'm just trying to field my Gavi, and I've got 4 or 5 sidekicks in the field already, right? I'm going to pay 2 life to ping you for 5. I'm winning that race.
Okay.
Right? I'll take 2 damage. I'm going to hit you for 5. I'm going to win that race.
Okay.
Right? Now, if I miss my Gavi, though, I can reroll him for free as opposed to Professor X, which I won't be able to I can't reroll him at all unless I pay the 2 life.
Right.
Right? So...
He still wins that race.
It's still good because they're both doing 2 damage.
The only way you win with that guy is if you roll, don't get Gavi... re-roll, and don't get Gavi. Because now you're up plus 2 life. In the case of my Professor X, I would never be up 2 life. Because if you didn't get Gavi, guess what? You just don't take 2 life.
Right.
So That is the difference.
Correct.
You're banking on the chances that you don't get Gabby. I'm banking on the fact that, hey, I figure it's a 50-50 shot to get Gabby, and if you got two chances, probability tells you you should get him. So, I say...
Unless you're me.
Unless you're you. So, if I play against you next time, I should choose your Professor X.
Right.
But
exactly.
Any other time. I'm a real mathematical guy.
Right. We're both playing these statistics, right?
Statistics. But it decides, do you want to go with more bang for your buck and try to go with your guy and try to get luckier to
right.
do more damage to him faster, or go with my Professor X, which my Professor X would help you also. The way my Professor X is better than that Professor X is the fact if, say, you roll all your characters first turn.
Right.
If you roll a Gabi, an energy, and two sidekicks, is your four dice.
Right.
You get to field your Gabi, you get your two sidekicks, and guess what? There's no rerolling. Well, you have to pay two life. In your case, since there's no rerolling, you don't pay two life. So you lost out on that life. But that's the chance you're taking. So, you got to ask yourself, which Professor X are you?
Right.
Do you want to go with the chance to reroll and do some extra damage, or do you want the chance that they're going to roll it in the first place?
Right. I think that your Professor X, Charles Francis Xavier, is a better generic counter, right? Because he works on any team.
Mm-hmm.
You have to field characters to win the game. There's no way that you can win the game without fielding characters, unless you just power bolt the person to death, right? But that's going to take so long that it doesn't...
Right.
The other opponent's going to win.
Sure.
This principle is a little bit more... He's designed to be more synergistic with what you're trying to do. I think over time, your Professor X probably would deal more damage, you know, just because
right.
you have to field. I'm always trying to think that by the time this guy gets out, it's going to be in the late game.
I see what you're saying. Right. Because he is a six-cost character. So
I'm thinking that the field's already going to be set up for Gabi, and...
He's never paying for sidekick.
Right. And so they're already there.
So the Charles Francis Xavier, I guess, would go better if you could eliminate his sidekicks.
Yeah.
Because the more sidekick dice in his bag, the better this Professor X is. In your effect, you just need to stop his Gabi.
Right.
Or whatnot.
Either way. Right, exactly. So, it's your choice. Pick your poison. I don't know. I like them both. I think they're both pretty good. Obviously, they're both six costs, so they were designed to be pretty similar.
Very similar.
It just depends on your style of plan, what you like to do. Do you like to screw your opponent's rerolls, or do you like just to shut down their ability to field characters?
Right.
The other specific character is pretty obvious. It's Loki, Gemkeeper, the rare Loki. I believe he's the five cost?
He is.
Right, and what does his text say specifically?
His text says, when fielded, choose an opponent's character card, canceling all previous choices. Your opponent cannot field that character while Loki is active. The effects last until you field another Loki.
Right. So, the strategy behind him is, when I build with this guy on my team, I only put one die on him. I only dedicate one die to his card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the point of dedicating multiple dice to his card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess if you're only going to ever field one Loki, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because every time you field another Loki, you have to cancel out the previous Loki. So you can't ever target more than one card.
Correct.
Right? You're only getting one card at a time. So if that Loki dies, then you have to wait for him to come back. I guess the only benefit to having more than one Loki is that if that one dies in the field and there happens to be another one in your bag already, he could come out quicker.
Right. Or putting up two Lokis so that he can't kill the one to then get his die. So if you have two active Lokis... Because it doesn't say you have to choose a different character card. It just says, choose a new character.
Right, different character.
It doesn't say different. It says, canceling all previous choices.
Right.
So you canceled the previous choice. And then, so you get to... It says, when fielded, choose an opponent's character card.
Oh, I guess... So you have multiple Lokis, they can target the same card.
You can target the same card, yes. So it doesn't hurt, but it does hurt in the idea of, this guy is just a counter character. He is not your team. If you're dedicating two plus dice to a counter,
right.
I think that gets overboard. Because right. then you are spending too much time focusing on counter of your opponent
right.
rather than actually helping your team.
Right.
You put him in there, you let him go, he's got to focus all his efforts to killing Loki.
Yeah.
But good luck killing him, because His defense is 5, 7, and 8, respectively.
Right.
He is really high when it comes to defense, especially for a team who pretty much has low attacks because all they're doing is just straight damage to you anyway. Right. So good luck getting rid of him. I am totally in agreeing with you. Only one die is needed.
Yeah, I have. And obviously you just target Gabby.
Correct.
Target Gabby and watch your opponent's face just crumble.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh.
Because most of the Gabby, like the Gabby deck that I built, the Firestorm deck that I built, really has no way to get rid of Loki. I mean, you could play Punisher McRook, which states, when Punisher signs to attack, knock out one target opposing character, your opponent can prevent this effect by paying 2 life.
And I
always pay the 2 life.
Pay 2 life all the time.
You're going to win the race.
You're going to have to...
The defender's going
to
win the
race. You're going to have hope for Loki to roll his level 1 card and somehow for you to field 5 characters with Human Torch.
Right. But I mean, the only other...
Fielding 5 characters in a turn.
Right. And or you get lucky with Storm. You target Storm. You target him with the Wind Rider.
Right.
And you don't re-roll it. But you have a 50% chance to get him back.
To get him back.
So...
Yeah.
I mean... And, counters to it are...
And that's just for the turn while Loki's not there. There's no guarantee that you get your Gabby dice while Loki is in my bag.
That is true.
So Loki is just... He is awesome. For one dice to screw up your opponent for multiple turns.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Super slow down.
Totally slows it down. I hate it. Those are the two best ways. The other way to slow down Gabby is kind of a little bit hidden. Again, these global abilities tend to not be so obvious at the beginning. And the global ability that I like is on the power action, Distraction. It states, spend a mask and return target attacking character to the field. Right, we talked about this last episode previously in basic team building. I think this is a great card because that global ability can disrupt so many people's plans.
Yeah, exactly.
You use this on your opponent's Green Goblin. So the idea behind the Gabby Firestorm deck is that you attack with Goblin every round. You get him into play, you attack with Green Goblin every turn. Because you want him either in your KO pile, in your pep area, which is where you really want him,
right,
or he goes back in your dice bag. Either way, you have him again to field him, because that's where he does his most damage. The distraction counter allows when he attacks with Green Goblin, you just spend a mask and you send him back to the field. Well, guess what? He's just sitting there now.
He's just sitting
He's not doing anything.
Yep.
He's no longer generating extra damage. He can't do anything for you.
Yeah, and you just make sure that you get a mask for re-rolling your sidekick dice to get that mask energy every turn.
Right.
That way you just stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, guess what? No direct damage.
Right, so it slows him down. I mean, it forces him to try to use him as a blocker, but if you're playing against this deck, you have other ways to get around him. Ideally, that's
right.
What you want to try to do. So, it's great. It slows them down. Anything that slows that deck down is a good way.
And the nice thing about that build is it doesn't go against one of your 8 characters. It's just an action card.
It's an action card.
You don't even need to purchase the die. It's just always there.
Yep.
So that is absolutely fantastic. Now, the other way is essentially the same idea of keeping him in the field is just to block him every turn without killing him.
Right.
Sacrifice a sidekick to him.
Right.
And you kill your sidekick or any other die because, guess what, you get that extra die to roll,
right,
whatever. It's more important to kill your own character, minus Loki.
Right.
And then to keep him in the field. That way you don't get to re-roll. Force him to buy more and more Green Goblin dice.
Right.
Because they're just going to sit there.
Right. I mean, the nice thing about Loki, though, too, is obviously if he's in play, he can't kill Gabby either.
He can't kill Gabby. There is, I think, one... If you roll a level 1 Loki and a level 3 Gabby, I think level 3 Gabby is a 5-5 character.
Mm-hmm.
Loki is a 1-5 character. So he doesn't kill Gabby, but he kills Loki.
Right.
So it'd be kind of a weird situation.
Right. But the idea is that you want to keep him out. You're blocking him down with the gem.
Yeah, you just don't kill him when you block.
Right. That's the idea. You don't want to kill Loki. You don't want to kill Gabby when you block.
And it just slows him down.
Yeah. Anything that slows him down buys you time. That's what you want.
Force the other characters to kill him, not Gabby.
Yep. So the last tactic is based around fighting fire with fire, speed attacking. And again, since this is an anti-Gabby Firestorm idea, we're not using Gabby to fight Gabby. It's not a mirror match. We're not talking about using a mirror match. We're talking about using other characters that help you to beat him before he can beat you. The other reason that we like incorporating some of these characters in your builds is because a lot of the characters that we've already stated are higher cost characters. 5s, 6s, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? So by the time you get to those characters, you might be
dead. Yeah, unfortunately.
Right. So these lower cost characters, these guys are all lower cost characters, and they can all be recruited for or under, and they help buy you time, they help you put some pressure on your opponent, make him think about what he's trying to do. And the first character that we talked, let's go from the most expensive to least expensive, mm-hmm. which is the 4-cost Hawkeye Longbow.
Yeah, Hawkeye Longbow. He states, when fielded, Hawkeye deals his attack value and damage to a target opposing character.
Right.
So he's in twofold. You get to attack killing a sidekick because his minimal attack is 3.
You always want to target a sidekick.
Always target a sidekick.
Right.
Keep Gobby there. Never target Gobby.
No, because even if he has Gobby to block with, right, you attack with Hawkeye either way, right?
Correct.
Because if Gobby blocks him, he's going to kill Hawkeye.
He's going to kill Hawkeye. And the nice thing is, if anybody blocks him, Hawkeye's defense, respective levels, there's 1, 1, and 2.
Right.
So 2 out of his 3 characters, if he even blocks with a sidekick because he doesn't want to take that 3-4 damage, you kill Hawkeye. Guess what? He gets to re-roll, you get him again, he snipes a sidekick, and is attacking you again for 3 or 4 damage.
Right.
So it's forcing you to take 3 damage.
Right.
So that's nice because he snipes a sidekick and is doing a minimum of 3 damage to you direct.
And if Gobby player has a Green Goblin in his field, he wants to kill his Green Goblin, obviously, because that's his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Any level of Green Goblin kills Hawkeye in return.
Correct.
So, which is kind of nice.
Correct. So, yeah, you could choose to not attack in that sense, but...
No, you always want to attack with Hawkeye. I think you do, because even if he kills Green Goblin, I think trading Green Goblin for or Hawkeye is great, because when Hawkeye comes in, he's going to kill another sidekick, regardless.
That's true.
So, I think it's worth it. Mm-hmm. The other character is the 3-cost Angel, Avenging Angel, which is who was our spotlight character of the day on our last episode,
mm-hmm.
right? Why do you like him, or...
Once again, he's just a low-cost character, 3, but he's got that crazy loophole with that tactic.
Right, with the distraction tactic.
Drilling you 2 each turn.
Sure.
I mean, theoretically, the game can end in 10 turns.
Yeah, and I've been on the other side of the Angel Storm deck, right? Because if you buy 2 or 3 Angels, you just attack with 2 or 3 Angels at a time. You either take 2 damage from blocking him and not killing him, or you take 2 or 3 damage from letting him go through unblocked,
yeah.
or you kill him, and then he comes back again. It just, that Angel just keeps coming back at you every turn.
Yeah, it's super fast, and he's low cost, and that's the nice thing.
Right.
And that's the one thing we forgot to mention about Hawkeye is he's, to recruit is 0, 0, and 1, right. respectively. So he's not taking up your other guys.
You can buy him early, he's cheap to field, he's good. Hawkeye's good. The last character is 2-cost character, which is the super rare Black Widow.
Mm-hmm. Right. I first off, let's just say I don't think you necessarily need the super rare Black Widow because you're paying what you're looking for with a speed deck is low to purchase, and then just an attacking character.
Right.
Black Widow, all levels, it's the same die no matter what.
Right.
The super rare just happens to be the best ability because it gives you direct damage bonus. But turning the character down to level 1 isn't bad.
No.
Doing everything else is definitely fine. So if you don't have the super rare Black Widow, like me,
right.
If you're not lucky like this guy, then she works.
Right. Yeah, the reason I only picked her is just because she has the additional ability of spinning down your opponent's characters. Which, if you're going up against the Gobby Firestorm deck, on your turn, you're assuming that your opponent has already attacked with his Gobby and he's gone.
Right.
And all that's left on the field are sidekicks, which can't be turned down any lower. So when you attack Black Widow, you're going to zap your opponent for 2, and then possibly do extra damage on top of that. Or eliminate the sidekick, which is a win-win.
Right.
Right. So
the best thing about her is she's 2 to cost, and you can buy 2 of her in a turn and just start just shredding your opponent.
Right. So, I mean, there are other 2-cost characters, but these 3 we like because they are not only 2-cost or 3-cost, they are aggressive.
Right.
You want to fight fire with fire. Fielding characters that are 2-cost that are trigger on blocking just it doesn't really do much because you're not going to get it out. You're not going to get that.
I think the Ghost Rider guy, you could make an argument for him.
Low Rider,
but he is to field 1, 2, and 3.
He's expensive.
So he's expensive because you're only going to get Ghost Rider that turn.
Right.
Another possible option is a low-cost Human Torch, the level 2 Human Torch.
Right.
So there's options. He's not a fantastic attacker, and he can be defended a little easier than these other guys who have tactics of getting their damage through.
Right, right. So, you know, basically, we gave you about 9 different characters, 10 different characters to choose from. Each one of them has their own way of how they deal with the Gobby Firestorm deck. You add a couple of those to your build. If you're not already using them, you know, they'll help you get over that Gobby Firestorm pretty easily.
Yeah.
But in general, there are other characters that aren't just designed. We chose those guys basically because they were designed in our minds to specifically stop the Firestorm. You've put together a list of other characters that you like that are general counters just on their own.
Yeah, and once again, stating what I consider like a counter would be, you're usually only dedicating one die to the card because it's the card that you care about more than the actual die and character. Which, go back to it, I would only recommend one Professor X earlier also.
Sure,
so
yeah.
There's no need to use more.
Okay.
Because he's always going to stay active. But would like to start with one of the good ones is Vibranium Shield, the irreplaceable. It says, place this die, touch an imposing character. Opposing characters that match that character's type cannot attack or block until the end of your opponent's next turn. Then place this die in the use pile. You get the die back. So what this prevents is if you happen to go up against a team that's all energy, you know, all lightning bolts, or all masks, or all one type, boom, you got a shield. Guess what? You can't do anything for a whole turn. Theoretically, it could even work against Gob if you want, because then you could attach it to another, I think he's a lightning bolt.
Yeah, he's lightning bolt.
To another lightning bolt character, and then you can't get him. So, all right, he can't attack or block. You just get free damage. So it's very adaptable. It's just there to kind of just, you know, kind of prevent
It's
something.
A great counter against teams that use only one energy deck.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He also has a gold build ability that says pay a shield to prevent one damage to a character or player. If it is against a direct damage deck, if you keep rolling shields, then you take no damage.
Right.
You're probably not feeling any characters, but...
Right. But it's fine.
It's a good counter. Yeah. I don't recommend having more than necessarily one of them.
No, and again, like, that card is really the reason why I tend to not build single-type energy teams. Mm-hmm. Just because if I ever run against somebody who's packing that card...
Then you're done.
Yeah, I'm out at a severe disadvantage.
Definitely. So, yeah, another one is... let you go ahead and pronounce that.
The rare Mjolnir, Thor's Hammer. Yeah, it's a board wipe. Deal 4 damage to all characters other than Thor. And the star is deal 5 damage instead. It's got an additional effect of a global. You can pay 2 lightning bolts, which is kind of expensive, to deal 1 damage to target character. So it gives you a direct zap. So, yeah, paying 2 lightning bolts to deal a damage to a single character, that will help stem, you know, sidekicks also if you need them to, but... it's a board wipe.
It's a board wipe. In case things are going wrong, you're not rolling any guys. He's got 8 characters. He's going to kill you soon.
Yeah.
Just eliminate the board. Make him re-roll it and actually get those characters.
Right.
They do get a lot of energy, but that's what it is. So those are good dice. Now, the other characters on this list are purely global characters. Like we talked about Mr. Fantastic would fit in this category. I'm never going to purchase their guy. Pretty much ever.
Okay.
But, and therefore, it doesn't necessarily matter which version you use.
Okay.
You're just looking for the global ability.
Okay.
Dr. Doom, I think, has a fun global ability. It says if you have a villain fielded, pay a shield to give target character -1 attack, -1 defense. It could be fun. You can just wipe out a couple of sidekicks. It could be that one extra damage you need to deal to another character.
Sure.
It's just a possible ability. Obviously, that would work better if you fielded a Dr. Doom or had him on like a villain deck or something like
that.
Phoenix is also another character. She's very interesting because it says pay a lightning bolt, target character must attack. That is really fun with Beast.
Mutate
666. When you've got a blocking team and your team's just like, well, I don't want you to attack me.
Right.
Well, guess what? Now you have to.
Right.
So, obviously, you have to use this in the main phase. To force them to attack once it becomes their turn. But then you force them to attack, you get all the bonuses, you can kill a couple guys that way. So that's really nice. Also force you to, you know, your sidekicks to, you wipe out sidekicks, like I said before. Another really fun one that I've been dealing with lately, been tampering with, is Silver Surfer. And he's really interesting. All his levels say global once during your turn, pay a shield, and take 2 damage to draw 1 die and place it in your primary. It's a give and take because you're taking 2 damage. And that's always hard to give yourself damage. But I think if you're rolling more dice than your opponent, you win in the long run. It's just a quick way to build up your team and then kind of attack with them, and you just kind of roll over them, hopefully.
Get the sidekicks out of your die bag to get to the good characters.
Yeah.
Kind of idea.
So,
sure.
Yeah, so don't overlook your globals. There are very tons of different options you can have with them.
Sure.
Don't forget, if you want to run that Mjolnir, pay 2 lightning bolts to deal damage to target character, and you can run a Hulk. Guess what? Don't forget, you can shoot your own characters.
Yeah.
You've got Nova, shoot Nova. He takes damage, draw a die.
Right.
And shoot yourself. Hulk, take damage, wipe out a character.
Get him angry.
Get him angry. You can you can hurt yourself.
Sure.
So
Definitely.
There's a lot of different texts with this.
All right, so there you go. There's a few different options that you have there for some just general counters. So let's go to the wrap-up here. In the wrap-up, in this two-part episode, we've dealt with the dreaded Gobby Firestorm deck. Mm-hmm. What to do? You're getting burned by this guy, getting ready to throw your dice across the room because this guy keeps beating you. Listen to our two-part episode, build a team, take him down, and look real smug when you do. The idea of the Gobby deck, it's good, but it's definitely not unbeatable. There are numerous counters. Like we said, there's we've come up with three different strategies to deal with them. You can eliminate the sidekicks, which I find is the most effective strategy. Slow down his sidekicks, someone who's played that deck, it's really frustrating to have that happen. Slow him out. Just slow down Gobby by preventing him from coming out on the board, or keeping him on the board once he's there. Don't kill him. And finally, you fighting fire with fire, using cheap, quick attackers to put the pressure on Gobby, hopefully in conjunction with one of those other types of techniques, so that you're slowing him down while putting the pressure on him. Yeah. It's a good success to win. We are going to be posting, I'll be posting a picture of the Gobby Firestorm deck online on our Facebook account, so go to our Facebook page, KO to Prep Area. You can also leave comments, questions, anything you want us to answer while we're here at the end of the episode. We're going to answer any questions that we get.
If you thought of a different way to combat Gobby that you found effective, please let us know.
Sure. If you think you have a better Gobby Firestorm deck than I do, then sure, go ahead and show it to me, and I'll show you why you're wrong.
wow.
You can go to our Twitter page. You can tweet at us, at KO to Prep Area. Any questions, comments, and that kind of thing. Also, go ahead and subscribe to our iTunes. We're on iTunes now. Go to our podcast. Subscribe to our podcast. You'll get every episode as it comes out. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the comments that we've received so far. This one here comes from James. He's talking about his what he thinks so far is some of the popular strategies. He says he feels like the popular strategy is flooding the active zone with low-cost characters. B666, Gambit Ace in the Hole are great. Everyone likes Hawkeye Robin Hood, but getting a die count isn't necessarily that bad. So he's been using Longbow instead.
I think the rare Hawkeye he was just referring to kind of probably just got downgraded after that
once block
rule
block.
Clarification.
Yeah.
So that does affect. I do agree with him. I totally agree with you, James. I think you're right on track. It seems like most of the teams I'm running are doing that same thing.
Yeah.
Most of my teams, I'm losing. I'm down to about 5 or less health, and then I overwhelm you with all these little cost characters and with all the dice I'm rolling with my Beast Mutate, with my Hawkeyes. Gambit, if you don't know what Gambit does, he allows you to get dice out of your bag, roll them, depending on which version of Gambit you get, you either get to fill your characters for free, get an extra dice, or they do direct damage to your opponent
right.
if you roll a character.
We could have a whole discussion about which Gambit is better.
Yeah.
They both got, I think it's between the common and uncommon, the Ace in the Hole, which you referred to, James, and the uncommon Le Diable Blanc. I prefer the uncommon one version myself, just because I like free characters. It depends on the build that you're going with.
Yeah,
though.
It definitely. But he's cheap and he's low, and you can just overwhelm your opponent. And
yeah.
I completely agree. It's also a very nice. It's a slower tactic, and you've got to outlive your opponent, but hopefully you've got enough blockers to do that.
Right.
And then once they roll bad, or you slowly pick them apart, you win in the end.
Right.
And then you say, I attack with all my blockers. I'm doing only 1 damage with each dice, but here comes 10 dice at you.
Right.
So.
So the other question that I have for you guys is, as a venue owner, like I have mentioned before, I own a venue called A to Z Games here in Arizona. We've got notice from WizKids stating that pretty much they're out of boosters. We're not going to be getting our starters until the end of this month, and then more boosters aren't going to be available until August. So as far as running organized play, I know we're going to be getting an organized play kit in like July, but I don't know how that's going to work without having boosters for our customers to buy. I'm just curious as to what your venues are. Are you guys going to be running any organized play anytime soon? Are you going to be waiting until August to do that kind of stuff? I don't know what we're going to do right now. I guess we're going to have to just kind of wait and see how much product we're going to get on this next wave. I hope we can provide enough starters for our players, but our players that have been waiting on starters haven't bought boosters, and all the players that have starters have bought all the boosters, so there's no boosters for our players to get once they purchase their starters. So,
it's a bad loophole right there.
So, yeah, I'm curious. What is your venue doing, and what are you going to try to do to keep this game going if you're planning on playing an organized play? Love to hear from you about that. So, on our next episode, we're going to go into detail about a couple teams that we played against each other. JP played a deck designed around his drawing mechanics that he's been referring to. And I played a deck with sidekick pumps, based around pumping up your sidekicks. We'll let you know how those games went and what we found out and the characters that we like on our next episode. But until then, remember to
KO the prep area.